This is GQDN for September 26, 2023. Brought to you by Audible. Go get your free credit. audibletrial.com/groupquest. By patreon.com/groupquest. And by stackup.org. In today's news, we have some game releases. And what is Elon Musk doing? And of course, we hit the esports corner. But today, we start with a strike, and I'm not talking about the UAW. No, this comes to us from Destructoid.com, and with now a deal that is almost in place for the Writers Association for Hollywood, the video gaming strike is now in place. And that was reported yesterday by the SAG-AFTRA, S-A-G-A-F-T-R-A, which is the screenwriters and the actors, and they have approved a strike against the video game industry. So, negotiations will take place between September 26th to September 28th. So, from today to Thursday. Now, they have been in negotiations with several studios who have signed the Interactive Media Agreement, and the organization did claim that negotiations have been quite unsuccessful. And quote, companies have refused to offer acceptable terms on some of the issues most critical to our members, including wages that keep up with inflation, protections around exploitative users of artificial intelligence, and basic safety precautions. Now, this will affect, or has already affected, film and television, but now it's affecting gaming. And the gaming industry does rely on voice actors along with writers. The writers are close to a deal. The voice actors and actors are not even close yet. We will keep an eye on this. This is a very serious subject. But we know something who is not that serious, but does take things seriously. Chris Metzen has been promoted to the Executive Creative Director of World of Warcraft. This comes to us from Wowhead.com. And here's what World of Warcraft said on X. Quote, "We are excited to share that Chris Metzen has taken on a full-time role as Executive Creative Director of the Warcraft universe. Right now, his main focus is supporting our World of Warcraft leadership in crafting the next generation of adventures. Chris was instrumental in developing the foundations of World of Warcraft universe, and we are thrilled to have him rejoin our teams in shaping what's to come. At BlizzCon, he and the team will be sharing what's been working on. We hope to see you there." They wanted him back. They got him back. But maybe they will provide some light about this. Once again from Wowhead, "The turbulent time ways starts today, along with 5 weeks of time walking, along with a new mount, and maybe some XP potions." So, that is exactly what's going on. Now, the new mount is the Sandy Shalewing, but in order to get the mount, you must complete the Master of Turbulent Time Ways, which means you have to get the Mastery of Time Ways during these 5 weeks. Now, there's also an experience buff, and that is when you have the distilled knowledge of time ways. This will increase your experience gained from killing monsters and completing quests by 5%. Okay? Completing time walking dungeons increases the effect and does refresh the duration. Now, when you reach 4 applications, this does transform to the Mastery of Time Ways and will increase the effect to 30%. You can stack that up 5 times. That's a good way to make some gold if you can sell it. Oh wait, that binds to the Blizzard account. Whoops. I guess you can't. But there are also some time walking rotation and rewards. Cataclysm time walking will come September 26th. Burning Crusade time walking comes October 3rd. Legion time walking comes October 10th. Mist of Pandaria comes October 17th. And the Wrath of the Lich King comes October 24th to the 30th. And I will leave the blue post alone. you can read that for yourself on wowhead.com, because they go over a lot of different things. But World of Warcraft's not the only game. Nope. Two quick updates, both from IGN. Talos Principle 2 does arrive in November. So it'll be November 2nd. And if you played the Talos Principle, you know what this is going to be. So go have fun with that puzzle. Now, Banishers the Ghosts of New Eden hasn't been delayed. The game was supposed to launch on November 7th this year, but that's being delayed to February 13th. Why? Basically because of Spider-Man and a few other AAA games. So, now that you know. Did I say Spider-Man? Okay, maybe not Spider-Man, but VG247.com did say that PlayStation Plus subscribers may be able to get a game that wasn't as good as what they thought. What I'm talking about is the Callisto Protocol in Farming Simulator 22. The Callisto Protocol was an average game, and EA published it as the creators of the game did say that it's a spiritual successor to Dead Space. So, okay. We'll see what happens with that one. Farming Simulator 22 may have been better than that, but still, you could pick these items up on your PlayStation October 3rd all the way to November 6th. So 1 week from today, if you're interested. Let's get to a little bit of, well, we said AI during the strike news. So what did Todd Howard have to say about that? Well, according to PCGamer.com, it's up to you to make the AI really stupid. Yes, he said that. In fact, he had an interview with the Academy of Interactive Arts and Sciences, and he said, quote, "Space combat was way harder than we thought. We see a lot of space games where you're going to have, like, derelict ships or other things to fly around just to get a sense of motion. So the smallest thing, like, what does the dust in space look like? So you feel like you're moving, and not too much, not too little." Further quote, "I like the way FTL, Faster Than Light, does the same things with power allocation. You kind of see that in the game. I really like MechWarrior, the old ones that I play a lot, where the pace of combat is a little slower, and you're looking at the systems of power allocations. The part worked out pretty well." But then he started talking about the AI. And he said, quote, "It's very easy to make enemies really, really smart. Forever we're just jousting with them. It turns out you have to make the AI really stupid. You have to have them fly. Then you need to turn, basically like, hey player, why don't you just shoot me for a while? Once we'd settled on our pace and how the enemies are going to move, that's where it came together." Now we hit the esports corner. And HLTV did give a basic breakdown of the EL or the ESL Pro League playoffs round one, along with a timeline to it. So if you're interested in the Pro League, you might want to go check this out, because they were talking about Fnatic versus Monty, Astralis versus Eternal Fire, Virtus Pro versus 9D, Moose versus Furia, and a few other games, such as 9Z won its first game against Virtus Pro, along with other matches such as Moose versus Furia, and how things went. So go check that out. While we're in the corner, Evil Geniuses and Thunderpick did expand their partnership to the Dota team. But why did they do this? Now, they're expanding their partnership with the Dota 2 team, and that's ahead of the International 12, which will be next month. So, here's what Leonard Edwards, the head of the global partnership with Evil Geniuses, did say in a statement, quote, by the way, this comes to us from .esports.com. "We've been so happy with Thunderpick as our partner, as our presenting partner on the Counter-Strike side, and are thrilled to harness their support for our Dota 2 team. This collaboration, words are hard, has been mission aligned from the start to bring esports experiences to wider audiences and support players. Now, some people have pointed out that ThunderPick holds a Curaco gambling license, which will not allow betting in the United States or the United Kingdom. And Evil Geniuses are based in Seattle. So, what a spokesperson did say in an email to Dot Esports, quote, "This news reflects ThunderPick's commitment to supporting the global growth of esports, but they do have some, quote, exclusive team content, end quote, along with some fan experiences, but they were not specified." Now you know what we're kind of talking about there. But after that, according to Esports Insider, the Games Week of Georgia, which starts on December 11th at the Plaza Theater, will have some screening about a film, and they will be hosting a gaming panel. Now, on December 13th, Girl Gamer Atlanta will have some women's team competing in Rocket League, and they will be representing the United States at the International Finals. Now, Atlanta is one of the five locations that does form the part of the Girl Gamer Esports Festival World Circuit. Now, on December 14th, the Esports Summit features a range of presentations that will come from the industry leaders, along with the workshops and the companies within the esports, Scholastic esports sectors. But DreamHack does return on December 15th to the 17th, and that will be the first time since November 2022, last November. And the event will have $100,000 in the Fortnite tournament that will take place alongside the Call of Duty World Championship and with the ESL Challenger CSGO competition. This is gonna be fun this winter, early winter, or maybe a little bit later into winter, because Eurogamer.net did say that Final Fantasy VII Rebirth developers were talking about the JRPG term. Really? Well, Yoshinori Kitase, that's the producer of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, and the creative director, Tetsuya Nomura, did talk to The Guardian in a new interview. Here is what Nomura did say, quote, I'm not too keen on it. Certainly when we started doing interviews for the games, when I started making, no one used that term. They just called them RPGs. And then at some point, I can't remember exactly when, people started referring them as JRPG. And I'm not sure what the intent behind that is. It's just always felt a bit off to me and a bit weird. I never really understood it or why it's needed. But Kitase, I'm sorry if I butchered the name, had a different thought about that. Here's what he said, quote, Personally, I don't see it as that derogative. I think obviously with modern gaming, titles developed in the West are the majority now. So if JRPG is only used in terms of differentiating, maybe showing off a slightly different approach to gamers or a unique flavor in terms of Japanese-made games, I'm absolutely fine with that. Further quote, this is going to depend on who you ask, but there was a time when this term first appeared 15 years ago. And for us as developers, the first time we heard it, it was like discriminatory term, as though we were being made fun of for creating these games. And so for some developers, the term JRPG is something that will maybe trigger bad feelings because of what was in the past. Now, we got one game that's out as a demo right now, and this comes to us from pushsquare.com. And that is Sword Art Online, The Last Recollection, now has a demo on PlayStation. That's 4 and 5. It is 7 gigabytes on PlayStation 5 and 8.4 gigabytes on PlayStation 4. You will be able to play the first chapter, which will also carry over your progress to the full release. That's cool. Now, The Last Recollection does launch on October the 6th. Which is the next Friday. Not this coming Friday, but next Friday. So, if you're a fan of the game, go get it. Just one more thing before we go. According to IGN.com, Well, Elon Musk was never in Cyberpunk 2077, and that was despite him demanding a cameo. In fact, Patrick K. Mills did say an X quote, "That wasn't Elon Musk. It looks nothing like him. Who came up with this nonsense?" In fact, a virus underscore kid did say, quote, "OMG, they removed the Elon Musk cameo from the corporal opening in Cyberpunk 2077. Left was before this patch. Right is who shows up now." So, even that wasn't Musk. Oh, well. But we are who we are. We are Dawnforge. This has been a Dawnforge production 2023. All rights are reserved. Go play some games, people. And don't try to demand a cameo.
Thank you.